La maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got like glue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
It does.
Wow. You've got like this whole, what are you doing?
I discovered I can do this with my camera app.
I thought I was having flashbacks. So when I watched 8mm over the weekend, I took an edible.
You watched what?
I watched 8mm over the weekend.
Oh, yes.
And I took an edible. So you just sent me back into that hole with your...
It's really weird because it just looks like it's... Kind of looks like my head superimposed on here, doesn't it?
For those listening, does this go out on the regular podcast?
Yeah.
So Chris got a new camera thing and it's changing his perspective. It's like the DMT is kicking in as we speak.
Crazy.
So
hi Des, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
Sorry, I'll turn this off. I know it's weird and distracting.
Does it just follow your head?
It just follows my face. See?
That's weird. Yeah, now you're making these faces like you're a 14-year-old YouTube kid. You're with snappy...
Ah, there we go.
Back to your adult world.
Oh, boy. Well, welcome everyone.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Can you turn the bed music down?
Sorry.
In the role of...
It's always really hard.
Me. Yeah.
It's hard for me to tell, like, what the... All right. I think that's good now, right?
That's pretty good.
Sweet. Hi. Welcome. I don't know why I had to take a sip of water before I said that again.
We covered that one already.
Yes. This is the good time hour without Dave Hill, but still with Des and Chris. I'm Chris.
I'm Des. And we just did that.
Yeah. That was the first time we've ever done that.
Right. What is this, like our fifth?
I think this is the fifth episode of the good time hour without Dave Hill.
Very good. Mother Nipplebottom, aka Jessica Kiebel.
Yeah.
This is the show if Dave is gone.
This is the show. Yes, this is what happens when Dave big times us and takes some big gig and forgets.
Well, you know, I look at it like not so much that he's big timing us, but he's got to go out into the world and take the arrows so that he can come back here and have this little safe space, and we're just keeping it rolling in the meantime. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Dave's not here, man. So this is kind of when you and I, Des, get to catch up and talk about all the things that Dave would normally either cut us off or just be completely enraged
not interested in. I don't think Dave watches TV, does he?
In the traditional sense, I doubt it.
Like
I've been to his apartment quite a bit over the years. I've never seen his TV on though.
That sounds like a brag, I'm not gonna lie.
No, I mean, we used to record the podcast there, so
right
there like every week.
Yeah.
But I never once saw his TV on. And I think his TV broke at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a new one, but I still never saw the new one.
Yeah, I put my old one.
Oh yeah,
back out. That one is inconsistent, and as of right now, I just threw it up there now. Mm-hmm. Shitty wires hanging.
Yeah,
but
are you the kind of person that has to hide your wires?
I like to do the best I can.
In fact, I do too. Yeah,
I spent the better part of yesterday drilling holes into the bookcase to hide the speaker wires and shit.
Good. I'm glad you're like that, because some people just don't. It's not even a consideration. They just like how you have it right now. That would be totally fine to them.
Yeah,
and it is. You know, it's not like I'm not judging. But
it's totally. You know, there's more important shit to worry about. But
I personally can't just have wires hanging or showing even.
There's a solution in there somewhere is how I look at a mess of wires.
Yeah.
And it's a constant struggle, you could say.
Oh yeah. Maticus Finch Riser says he thinks Dave is actively competing against us on a game show tonight.
Really?
Is that tonight? I think he was on Would I Lie to You on the CW.
The CW?
Last night. Yeah, yeah. There's a new game show.
Channel 11?
Yeah. Yeah.
No kidding.
Jim Biederman, our friend Jim Biederman's working on it.
And, okay.
And Dave was a contestant on it. I tried to watch it, but my antenna doesn't pick up the CW, and I don't have cable.
How does it not pick up the CW?
It's the position of this building. I don't know. I get every public channel except for the CW.
So no Felicity reruns for you?
Mm-mm.
That's too bad. Nope.
Can't watch The Flash. What else is on the CW?
I don't know if they still do the marathon, the Twilight River, Zone.
Wait, what was the Archie one?
Riverdale? Yeah, no, I didn't see. But they still do the old marathons Zone and stuff like that?
I don't know. I have a feel. Well, yeah, because it is still WPIX.
Right.
So I think so, but I don't know. We've lived here for like 4 years, and I don't really watch all that much live TV. So
yeah,
but yeah, when we were trying to watch it last night, and couldn't get it.
That's too bad.
But someone, Lil Miss Martian, says CW streams for free the next day, so then we can pull that up. That's good to know, because
is there a way we can play that here now?
Possibly.
If it's streaming for free, that seems like a lot of,
like, in lieu of our of this show. We'll just watch it.
We'll see what he's wearing. maybe next time.
I wish I had known that about the CW. Well, I don't know if this would even apply, but about 3 or 4 years ago, a couple of my friends were staying with my wife and I, and we all thought it'd be really fun to go see a taping of the Maury Povich show.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
And we did it. We like, there's like a shuttle bus you can take from Harlem that goes to the studio in Connecticut. And we watched like 2 episodes of the Maury Povich show being taped. And I don't have cable. Again, I don't have cable. Even if I could get my antenna to work, there's no way I could record it. Uh-huh. So I've still never seen it, but there has to be shots of us in the audience, like in these episodes.
Did you have any fear while you were on the bus on the way up there that you were in the middle of some episode where you were going to get brought on stage and surprised? No chance at all. You don't.
That, you know, wow, that would be no, because
the epic long con of you are the father.
I get ambushed by my wife. Like, yeah, you thought we were just going to have a good time, but I'm calling her.
No, this is what I think I was. I almost went to a Maury Povich show once. I ended up eating. they rearranged the chairs, and there were no seats left for us. It was.
Oh.
I ended up, and then we went to.
When they were taping in New York?
Yeah, we went to get breakfast at the New Yorker Hotel, and I had Eggs Benedict for the first time, and it did not go well. It was kind of close to Dave's burrito in Chicago story. So when I hear Maury Povich, that's what I think of. Stuck with the Stedler family. Oh, that was a nightmare.
You know, and I gotta say, like, it was it was exactly what I expected it would be like, and it was really fun for like the first hour or so,
and then it felt like work.
I kid you not, Maury Povich holds his audience captive for a full 5 hours,
really,
in that studio while he records segment after segment of paternity test results, lie detector tests. He brought his dog out at one point. That wasn't part of the show. He just brought his dog out and was like giving his dog treats.
Is he doing like, he's taking 5 hours to record 2 episodes, and is there like the narrative?
There's time. Yeah, there's like these breaks in between, and then he comes out and does all these like weird commercial promos.
He's got to
hit
this,
an audience for.
He's got to do the spots for Oklahoma and Montana.
Oh, it just went on and, forever. But like, yeah, we first got there and we were like so excited because I think like it's, me and my friend Rona had smoked right before we went in.
Sure. It's where the magic happens, man.
So it was like a good hour. We were like laughing our asses off, and then it was like, how do we get out of here? Like,
yeah, you can't. Can you get up in the middle of it?
Well, there's like a shuttle bus that had to take us back too. So I mean, I guess we could have gotten up and left, but we would have been just stuck in wherever Connecticut they filmed that, not knowing how to get back.
How long ago was this?
This is like 3 or 4 years ago. About four years ago.
Really? That's pretty recent. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was fun when while it lasted, but you know, all things must pass.
This is true.
We've never seen the episode. Like, I'm just dying to like turn on a random episode once, and hopefully, I'm just like in there, like laughing, all bleary eyed. And
how would you? I mean, and there's no way to know. Like, oh, you come across a Maury Povich episode, and it's about a paternity test. That could be any episode he's done for the last 25 years.
Yeah. And they were clearly like, they tape a bunch of segments, but that's not necessarily an episode that we watched.
Right.
Like they I don't know. That show's really weird how it works, but there was no way like to really find out, oh, when's that episode gonna air?
It's the magic of television.
They're all named the same thing though. It's like every episode is like, you lied, or like that baby's not mine. I do remember there being like an explosive paternity test result that like the whole studio stood up and was like in shock,
gasped.
They're like, no.
Did you find yourself getting sort of caught up in the mob mentality? I know it's not quite the Jerry Springer show. Maury runs a classy operation.
Kind
like,
of.
Jerry, what? Like, did you feel caught up in it?
Yeah. So this is the weirdest part, is that it's, you know, the Maury Povich show. He's got like, I'm not even exaggerating, like 30 producers who are just people. They're just dressed like everyone else. Like, maybe they're wearing like a Maury hoodie or something, but they're like, there's just people walking like all around the studio, and they're telling you like when to boo. Like, if they have like 3 producers just in the very front of the stage, whose job is just to like turn around and go, and then they're like that. Like, they direct the entire audience on how to react. It's crazy.
I don't know that I could even ever do that job, just like that, to ask people to shill. Not that I have any kind of integrity or anything, but just I don't care.
No, they also had like dance contests and stuff. Like, they brought up studio audience members. It was insane.
Henry Slinkman wants me to define classy, I guess, in terms of Maury Povich versus Jerry Springer. I would say the first thing is that Maury was not indicted for criminal behavior while an elected official.
Yeah.
The way Jerry Springer was. So that's the first step of classy. The East Coast operation, as you know, Chicago is a beautiful city, but
Springer's actually in the same studio as Maury now. I don't know if they're still. I think Maury's ending, actually.
Whatever happened to Richard Bay? Do you remember
Richard Bay? Yeah, Richard Bay.
Oh, he was the original. He's a man who gets no love. Where's the Richard Bay documentary? We got the stupid Action Park documentary. Talk to me about it.
He was almost a parody of Jerry Springer in a weird way. But like,
didn't he not predate Jerry? I mean,
he might have, but he was like always like really goofy and extreme. Like, he wasn't trying, like, I feel like Springer, I mean, of course that changed. Springer at first, I think, was trying to be like a Donahue type, like
took himself serious,
public interest type stories.
Right.
Yeah, B. Frank, it says Morton Downey Jr. Have you ever seen Morton Downey
Jr.? The greatest program. There's united generations of people in my family, from 75-year-olds to the 5-year-olds. We all just loved watching Maury.
Oh, my God.
It was the best.
There's a documentary, too, that came out a few years ago. I never got a chance to watch it. I remember Sharpling talking all about it on The Best Show, because he's like a huge Morton Downey Jr. fan.
Okay.
Morton Downey Jr. was really, I guess, the first one. Like, that was pre-everything.
He was right there. I guess he was the TV version of Howard, really, with a more vicious tone. And then I forget his name right now, but there was the guy on TV in DC that Howard went on, and he was a real progressive, if you will, TV character, just as far as anything goes. Let's see if I can track down that name.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, Maury was in on it early, for sure.
Yeah.
I guess some people might not know Maury. When was Maury? Not Maury. Morton. Morton Downey Jr. was probably...
Looking. He started in 87. He was only on for like a couple years.
Really? That's all?
Yeah. It says he was on from 87 to 89.
What could he have done before that?
I don't know.
To get that job.
Because that was like the one that where he started having like KKK members on. Like Sprinkler started doing that too, but like...
Well, Morton Downey Jr., remember he set up the fake kidnapping? And he like carved the swastika in his forehead?
Right.
So he was always dabbling in the... In the dirty side of things.
And there's an Al Sharpton interview that you can find on YouTube.
Oh, God. Yeah, that would be great. So he had a talk show in Sacramento.
Oh, right. Thanks, Matt. There's a Tales from the Crypt episode with him in it.
Oh, my God.
I think Matt and I actually watched that somewhat recently together.
That was going to be great.
Yeah, Morton Downey Jr.
He was, in an interesting side note, Morton Downey Jr. was fired from his radio show in Sacramento in 1984, and he was subsequently replaced by Rush Limbaugh, according to Wikipedia.
Oh my god.
So Morton has a hand.
He's responsible.
He's a footnote in the career of
I just want to go back. Adam Kakos said he has two friends on Facebook who are on Springer.
Ooh.
I want to know
so many ways.
I want to know more about that, because I'm always, you know, when I watch, I do tend to watch, not watch Maury, but I tend to have it on in my apartment a lot, just as like background noise. And like,
that's not weird, but go ahead.
No, I know it's very strange, but my, you know, if like my parents come over or something, they're like, what the hell? Like, why are you watching? Yeah. Why are you watching this?
There is something to it.
Yeah, no, there's like, it's just like a silly, stupid background entertainment. Mm-hmm. Shit, I was going to say something about that, but now I can't remember. Oh, well. Yes, but I'm always, like, defending. I'm like, no, they're not actors. And my mom's always like, no, come on, clearly they're actors. And I'm like, I don't think they are. I think they're, like, really desperate people who allow the producers to kind of, like, influence what they do and say on the show, but...
They might have thought they were acting in a certain sense. They were. This was a step on the way to a performing career.
Yeah.
For a majority of the folks, they're going to get discovered.
But Springer, I think Springer was definitely more fake. Like Springer just seemed like actors.
By then, I mean,
if you're just joining us, this is the daytime talk show hour with Des and Chris.
Yeah.
Where we discuss daytime talk shows. Oh, Steve Wilkos. That's another one. Spinoff of the Jerry Springer Show.
Oh, he was the bouncer. See, I never even knew his last name.
Yeah.
The security guy. Yeah. And everybody chants Steve. Like, that was a phenomenon. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Yeah, Steve Wilkos is... Every time I turn on Steve Wilkos, though, the topic is like... shockingly dark. It's like, I didn't kill my 2-year-old baby.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like not even...
That's shockingly dark.
It's not even remotely funny. but yeah.
Speaking of shockingly dark, and I mentioned it before, but I watched 8mm this weekend. Mm. And you ever have like a recollection of a movie? Like, yeah, that was a good movie. I enjoyed that film.
Yeah.
And then you watch it.
So good.
Maybe it was the 90s. It was the late 90s.
And it is Joel Schumacher. Maybe it's because it was Joel Schumacher's first movie after Batman and Robin. People just gave him a pass. Like, oh, no, look, he is a decent director.
I don't know. I mean, Nicolas Cage had won an Academy Award by then.
That's true.
Catherine Keener is in the, you know, indie darling, you know, in peak 90s indie.
Wow. Oh, Gandolfini's in it?
Gandolfini has a big part in it.
I don't remember that at all.
And I'll tell you,
it's been like 15 years since I last watched this.
I'll tell you why you don't remember it at all.
Yes,
it's not a good movie. It's you consume it and that's it. And yeah. And it's over. With like it, we should break it.
Yeah, so the premise, he's going after a supposed, he's trying to find like a snuff film, if a snuff film is real or something, right?
Well, I think part of it is the intentional setup that he's this like on point private investigator, and the movie starts and he's doing a job in Miami at South Beach, and he turns out he's trailing the son-in-law of a Pennsylvania U.S. senator.
Always a senator.
Yeah. And he does a good job for her.
Like in fiction and in real life. So it's always a senator.
You know, yeah. Well, the senator was really only keeping tabs on her shitty son-in-law. And, you know, she was like, oh, thanks, you did a great job. He's like, oh, thanks. And, you know, he's a tight guy. He's got his suit on and everything. The worst thing he does is that, like, he sneaks some cigarettes on the way home. Mm-hmm. And just had the baby. Everything's great. Life couldn't be better. And now he met the senator and he's talking to his wife, Catherine Keener. And, you know, I think the senator is going to be really great for my career as a private investigator or surveillance that he's into. Because it's the future, he says. You know, mind you, this is the 90s. And he wasn't really wrong there. Mm-hmm. But then he gets called like Big Lebowski style through this connection that the senator has. Now he's been opened up into the bigger world of big money clients, and his connection comes through with this lady, his old lady. She looked like the woman who was in the Heart of the Sea from Titanic. Rose, okay. Old Lady Rose.
Yeah. Never seen Titanic, but I know who you're talking about.
Oh, wow. Okay. And her husband has died. She's big steal money, and her husband has died, and they had to get into his safe, and there's this video, this reel of film in there, and she watched it, and she needs to send Nicolas Cage out in the world now to prove that what happened on this tape did not really happen. Like,
oh wow,
she needs to know so bad. She needs to believe so hard that the world is not a place where a snuff film could be a real thing.
Spoilers.
Oh, dude, the movie's 20 years old at this point. I didn't even tell you who did it anyway at this point. It was the
yeah.
plot.
I've seen it and I don't remember who did it. So
yeah. And so now Nicolas Cage watches the movie, and ironically, this is about where the edible sort of kicked in for me. Mm-hmm. And he has a real hard time getting through it. But now the arc of the whole movie and what they're trying to tell you is that he's going to sink to the depths of humanity over the course of like a couple months in investigating this. His wife is freaking out and everything falls apart and he's a shell of a man because of this damn snuff film. Everything about it could not be worse. The music made no sense.
Really?
Top to bottom, everything about this movie is a piece of shit. So I'm going to challenge you to...
Wow. All right, I'm going to watch it
and either agree or disagree.
I believe you. Sometimes movies just don't age well, and a lot of those movies tend to star Joaquin Phoenix, I've noticed. Because he's like my favorite actor. Like, I love Joaquin Phoenix.
But yeah.
His early in his career, he was in some really bad... like
and this movies. This was a big role for him. And to answer Laffer One's question, the edible did improve the movie because I started to drift in and out of sleep in that like, perfect, like warm embrace of a cocoon state. Like I knew what was happening in the movie, and all I could do was just laugh at how ridiculous, but it was. But Joaquin Phoenix was probably the only good thing about the movie.
Yeah, I could see that. So, Little Miss Martian, we're discussing 8mm, the 1999 Joel Schumacher film.
Written by the same fellow who wrote Seven, I believe.
Yes, and
which
I believe. Yeah, that's right.
That's a tremendous film. Andrew Kevin Walker, this one's on you.
Yeah, that name sounds really familiar. I think he does like a lot of script doctoring too. Like he gets a lot of uncredited work.
But
Joel Schumacher is an odd director.
What is it about movies that makes it where they just age horribly? Like it looked unfinished, but this is the movie they rolled out, and they made a big deal about this movie. Like they promote these movies. Like how does this happen? Damn it!
I don't know. I mean, it's weirder to me when a movie is like critically acclaimed, and then you watch it 20 years later, and it's just baffling. Like it's, I mean, Crash is like that. That's probably at the top of everyone's list of like movies that won Best Picture and did not age well at all. I mean, I thought it was garbage when it came out, but it's weird how some movies like people can be all about. Like I remember when Forrest Gump came out and everyone just like loved that movie.
It was the technology, the dad's review with the tech.
Oh my god, that movie is horrible.
Little Miss Martian said Seven is not a well-written movie. She literally watched it 30 minutes ago.
Oh, really? Interesting. I haven't seen it in a long time, so.
I could see where it's not, but sometimes the whole thing doesn't have to be well-written, just a couple parts.
It's a Seven. Just, yeah, when they promoted that movie, I remember it was like, here, I'm going to put it up on the screen. It was spelled like that. Like, that was the official title of the movie.
Yeah. It's artsy, man.
David Fincher though is an amazing director, so I
that matters.
Yeah, I kind of want to now. I want to go back and watch Seven. We just watched The Game not that long ago, the Michael Douglas, Sean Penn movie.
How does that hold up?
That was good, and I'd never seen that. I never saw it back in the day.
Oh, I watched that movie twice. That was I saw that like back in the day when you had to rent your movies at the store, and so I picked that one up. I watched it twice, like went right back into that. How did it age? How did you like it as a first time, I should say?
It was good. Hold on one second. Sorry, I got distracted for a second. It was good, and I didn't see the ending coming.
Okay.
And I like movies. I mean, I like Michael Douglas a lot too, but I just like movies like that where it's kind of like I feel like Total Recall, it's like you don't know what the hell's going on the whole movie. He's and at the end, you still kind of don't really know what's going on. But
yeah,
I always like that kind of. Yeah.
I watched that and Dante's Peak in the same weekend.
Whoa, Dante's Peak. I saw that in the theater.
Some weekends just stick out.
I saw that in the theater. I think that came out like not the same weekend, but like a week after Volcano, which was another volcano disaster movie.
The high time for the Volcano disaster movie.
Yeah, and Game of Death said he saw The Game completely cold as a test audience. Love it.
That's great.
Yeah. It was fun watching that for the first time, like, I don't know, like 20 years after it came out. But David Fincher is also, I don't know if you've watched Mindhunter.
The TV show?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
That's the one where they're profiling serial killers?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I keep telling people that the new Batman movie is basically like Mindhunter with Batman in it, because it's not that like gritty.
That is a stretch. Wow.
Wait, have you watched Mindhunter?
I have, as a matter of fact. It there's three seasons
or two. I think they were going to do a third and COVID
they knocked it out. They had the actress in there. She kind of had a Carrie Coon vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was great in the first season. Did you have you watched?
Yeah. We watched.
You're all the way through. Without getting too I'd have to be refreshed on that one. But one of my main takeaways is they had nothing at all for her to do in the second season, and she just kind of flopped around. But the end of the first season, when they cue it out through the Zeppelin song, was one of the best season finale episodes I've ever seen. It's a great show, great concepts, but it kind of fell off. It got a little cluttered.
I kind of see, I think I remember that too, being a little disappointed with the second season.
But you're all in on that Batman movie, ain't you?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Why you're not?
I saw it, and I'm good. I guess you went and saw it again, right?
I saw it once in the theater, and then then my wife didn't see it, so we watched it.
All right. Well, that's
HBO.
That's fair.
I've gone back and watched a couple scenes here and there, but
yeah.
I don't know. I really liked it. I thought it was fucking awesome.
Where does it rank on all the Batman movies? Obviously, throughout the outline.
Honestly, I mean, some of the older ones do hold a special place in my heart, just because I grew up with them, and some of the first, Batman 89 is one of my first movie theater memories, was waiting in line to see that.
Is that what they call that one now? Batman 89? Is that how it's referenced? That's the Michael Keaton original?
That's the first Michael Keaton, yeah.
Batman 89. Okay, I'm glad I know what that's
that reference is now. But if I had to rank them as far as a movie, a definitive Batman movie, I would say the new Batman movie is probably the best.
The new Batman movie is the best Batman movie. Okay.
You're in a theater. The lights go down. You're about to get swept up by the characters and all their little details and interpersonal dramas. You look at them and think, that person is so obviously in love with their best friend. Wait, am I in love with my best friend? That character's mom is so overbearing. Why doesn't she just stand up to her? Oh God, do I need to stand up to my own mother? If you've ever recognized yourself in a movie, then join me, Jordan Cruciola, for the podcast Feeling Seen. We've talked to author Susan Orlean on realizing her own marriage was falling apart after watching Adaptation, an adaptation of her own work, and comedian Hari Kondabolu on why Harold and Kumar was a depressingly important movie for Southeast Asians. So join me every Thursday for the Feeling Seen podcast here on Maximum Fun.
Video games.
Video games.
Video games. You like them?
Maybe you wish you had more time for them?
Maybe you want to know the best ones to play?
Maybe you want to know what happens to Mario when he dies?
In that case, you should check out Triple Click. It's a podcast about video games.
A podcast about video games? But I don't have time for that.
Sure you do. Once a week, kick back as three video game experts give you everything from critical takes on the hottest new releases,
to scoops, interviews, and explanations about how video games work,
to fascinating and sometimes weird stories about the games we love.
Triple Click is hosted by me, Kirk Hamilton.
Me, Jason Schreier.
And me, Maddie Myers.
You can find Triple Click wherever you get your podcasts and listen at MaximumFun.org.
Bye!
You look enraged by that.
I mean, I'm not enraged. Disappointed might be a more accurate.
Well, what do you think? You think The Dark Knight or Batman Begins or something?
One of those, probably. Like you, I'd be partial to Batman 89.
Yeah.
That one was just kind of pitch perfect in its own way. I didn't like this one. Did you watch Gotham?
No. I tried. I couldn't get into it.
I feel like this was just the movie version of Gotham. So I almost I wasn't getting, I don't know. I liked the setup of the, I like exploring that era of it. And everybody did their job well. Just, I think part of it too is I can't get into supporting Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet's career. She just didn't bring anything to it at all, and I feel like all her action scenes. Now, you've seen it a couple times. Maybe it was just the TV I was watching on, but it was a good enough TV. When there were a couple action scenes, it seemed to me it was either computer generated kicks, or they shot around and like had a stunt and then they cut her face into the shot and then back to the stunt. Like I saw a lot of editing when she was on screen. Not that I know what the hell I'm talking about as a movie person.
I watched some of the there was like a short like 7 or 8 minute feature on HBO, like the making of it, and they basically shot that entire movie on a set.
Yeah,
and it was like those screens like that are projected around them.
Otis thinks I'm full of shit and that she was fantastic and I could scratch right off.
I'll say
maybe, and then I'll if there has to be a weakest link in the movie, I would have to say it's her, and I'll put it like that. I enjoyed it, but I didn't come away blown away by it.
All right,
you know,
agree to disagree,
I suppose. You know, the Heath Ledger,
so they kind of like shoehorned the Joker in there.
If they'd have walked in Joaquin Phoenix,
spoilers, everyone. Batman.
It's been out long. Yeah, I mean, you know it's coming.
I said that because Lil Miss Martian asked what I thought of the deleted Joker scene. Have you seen that yet?
Was it
there's like a full-on scene with him.
When they're not kind of talking.
He's like a Hannibal Lecter type, and Batman visits him to like get information about the girl from him.
Okay.
So he's kind of acting like a Hannibal Lecter type character, which I think would be really cool if they keep that for like this Batman trilogy.
This universe.
And I like the deleted scene a lot. I understand why they didn't keep it.
It becomes Batman and
but
Joker.
Then it makes that second scene just seem like, oh yeah, he's gonna be in the sequel. Rather than it just being like, oh, because if you had seen the Joker earlier in the movie, you would have just been like, oh yeah, of course the Riddler's next to the Joker and they're gonna start talking to each other or whatever.
Did we just get
Hey Matt. Sorry, I clicked add to stream a little bit earlier than I was intending, but it felt weird just tossing you off. So
That's the phrasing.
I've been on mute this entire time. Hello everyone.
Hey Matt.
Did you say you were gonna toss me off, Chris? Is that how you phrased that?
That's exactly how he phrased that. So
goodbye. No.
There's that.
Oh no, we're losing connection.
Matt, what were your thoughts?
My Zoom frozen face.
What were your thoughts on the Batman?
My thoughts on the Batman are I still need to find a solid 3 hours of my life I want to set aside to dedicate to watching a movie about Batman.
You baffle me because you, out of all my friends, probably know the most about comic books, and like I can't get you to watch a single Marvel movie.
But you've never seen Titanic, Chris, so what the hell do you know?
That's true. You're right.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I don't know. Like, Chris knows I'm what I like to call a curmudgeon. When it comes to comic book stuff, I don't know. Like, I'm very into, like, the books, I guess, and, like, I'm kind of into, like, the history of, like, comic books in particular, but, like, I'm not one of those people that's, like, you know, like, into you know, like the Joker, like my favorite the Joker is the like, remember all those people in like the 2000s who bought like all the stupid Joker shirts from like Hot Topic and stuff like that? And I will say that about the new Batman movie is it hasn't inspired any terrible new Hot Topic core type people to like adopt like, you know, like the Riddler's like weird, you know, gimp suit or anything.
Oh, it's coming.
It'll happen.
Wait till Halloween.
Yeah, they just released it too early.
Yeah.
Like, you got a little bit of that with the Joaquin Phoenix one, which that was more, like, meme-y. And, like, the Suicide Squad, I remember they tried to, like, manufacture that, and it didn't really take, like, that first one with Jared Leto in it.
Is there any possibility that they would use the Joaquin Phoenix Joker in a Batman vehicle?
I mean...
I don't know.
That movie seems totally separate from every other Batman.
I mean, it seems creatively bankrupt, but like, I mean, with every comic book related, just like give it a couple of years and it'll be like, everyone will be like, oh, this is really cool. Like, it's like how, you know, DC Comics just a year or two ago, they crossed Watchmen over with the main DC universe.
Yeah, I was always very much against additional Watchmen.
So, like, if they'll do that, like.
the second Watchmen the HBO Watchmen series was amazing, though.
I enjoyed the movie, though, but I came into that without any like preconceived notions, and I just took the movie for what it was and went back and saw the differences, and I get the complaint, but I came in movie first, so my whole
So you saw the movie Watchmen before you like read it or
and it was just like a stupid enough fun, you know. I understand how everybody was like, this isn't my Watchmen, you know, but
I don't know, I feel like Watchmen the movie gets a much more bad rap than it deserves. I mean, it's definitely got like the nauseating Zack Snyder like action. Agreed. Which that's like you know, like all the speed up like slowdown bullshit that he does, but I mean, like, as far as like an adaptation of Watchmen goes, like, you could do much worse. Like, I mean, like, it's an intelligible movie. Absolutely. Which for Zack Snyder, I don't know if you saw like Batman v Superman. I've gone on record as saying that I think that that's maybe the last movie of, or the worst movie of the last decade, because it was just like a 3-hour incomprehensible mess.
This where is
just,
like
scenes didn't like connect to each other, and you know,
I'll support this.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought because Chris went into train spotting. Dude, that like legitimately freaked me out when you had it on earlier. I thought that was seriously like you were like holding like your phone or doing something like it. Yeah. Or you had like some kind of image stabilization on it.
Do you remember there was an MTV show called Fear in the 90s where they just they put these like head cameras on people and put them in supposedly haunted houses.
Oh yeah.
And then they'd run, and I'd always be so amused by how their faces looked like they just didn't move, but everything else did. And that's what this looks like. Like, oh, there's a ghost in here.
Zach Bagans needs to get some of those cameras on Ghost Adventures. That would make that show even better. I need to get you to watch more Ghost Adventures, Chris. That seems like something you'd be very into.
I gotta get into
that. You love a good deranged host of a reality show or a you know, game show, so I think you would like him.
For sure.
You like your John Taffers, you like who's Dave Ruprecht, the guy who hosts Supermarket Sweep, like...
Oh, yeah.
Anthony from Hotel Impossible, which that's actually, you know, like a loophole for a while.
That's actually the name of the guy who hosted Supermarket Sweep.
David Ruprecht. Yeah.
And has this been the same host of Supermarket Sweep, like, going all the way back?
I think it was a show back in, like, the 50s or something, if I recall correctly.
Yeah,
but
sure
he was the host for, like, the entire, like, revival from the time it was on in, like, whatever, like, you know, the mid-80s until they stopped doing it in, like, the early 2000s, so... Well,
good for you, Matt, remembering his name and bringing it up.
I've done a lot of Supermarket Sweep research. I'm one of those obnoxious people to watch things with because I don't pay attention to what's happening on the screen, because I'm just like Wikipediaing everything, and I become a tiny expert.
My wife hates it.
We have a no phone rule on our couch.
Really? You had to exact a rule, huh?
Well, because it's just and like my parents were staying with us the other night, and I
did
like,
they have to follow it?
Well, no, they don't, but like as soon as they can't figure out who is that guy, my mom has to pull out her laptop and look it up. Like,
oh, she goes the whole laptop.
That's extreme.
Yeah, it's nuts.
My parents are on the iPads now. My parents, they'll sit there and just look up shit about while they're watching, you know, what they're watching. As long as they're like looking up what they're watching together, that's fine, because like my mom will do that, but my dad will do that thing where he's just like in his own world watching stuff on his iPad, and my mom's watching this like movie, and you know, and she thinks that like my dad's like watching it, and then he's like not.
Yeah.
And she like asks him a question, and he's just like, oh, what? And then she like, you know, throws a pillow at him across the room, and that's a...
Yeah, that's why like, I just
my parents will never listen to this. I can say stuff like that.
I just hate watching something where someone else is like in another world, and then you have to rewind it because they don't understand what's going on. So I don't know. It's just way easier to just not have any devices.
I had a girlfriend who, when I met her, she had a rabbit ear television antenna. And by the time we moved in together and I got the Verizon Fios, she could no longer miss a moment of programming. And if I spoke to her while the TV, like while the show was on, she'd pause the thing.
Oh man.
It probably get annoyed with me, have to rewind it, go back to see what she missed and pick it up. I mean, needless to say, that relationship did not last. That is not Kim we're talking about here. She doesn't do that kind of shit.
That's a little deranged.
It was so deranged. And I was like, you had antenna, you had rabbit ears when I met you. What is this? So anyway, I didn't mean to interject, but I just had a bad flashback there.
Isn't it weird how stuff is like that now? Because, I mean, like, back in the day, you know, there'd be, like, shows would be, like, on, and you'd be, like, taking a piss while, like, the commercials were going, and you get back in while, like, it was, like, already playing, and then you just have to, like, sit down and,
yeah,
and
you
watch
just,
it, and then, like,
just deal with it together. Yeah.
Like, and now there are people who, like, I can't miss a single second of anything that's happening. Like, I feel like there's an entire generation of people who aren't going to know what it's like to, like, have seen a movie, but only in, like, bits and pieces over the years, and you kind of just, like, connect all the bits and pieces you've seen. Like, I think that there's like several movies I'm that way with. Like, I think Lethal Weapon I'm that way with. Like, I've never seen it all the way through in like one go. Like, I've seen like a piece of it like on TV here and a piece of it on TV here and then like piece of it over here, and then you can kind of put it all together. Yeah. The Green Mile's one that a lot of people are like that with.
Oh, because it's just like on all the time.
It's just on all the time, and it's like really fucking long, so it's like
I only saw that the once.
Yeah, I mean, remember when you would just miss an episode of a show and then you wouldn't see that episode until they reran it? I remember missing Simpsons episodes and being so pissed off because I was like, oh, I'm not going to see that episode for another 6 months or something.
Yeah, it was just like gone. And that's why they made TV the way that they made it back then. Because I feel like it's like this generation too, when they go back and they watch shows from the 80s, they're like, why are there like 20 episodes in this season, and all of them are like standalone, and some of them are like really good, and then some of them are like really not. And it's like
Matt, I wanted to bring you on to discuss this clip that you found and unleashed into the world last week.
Yes.
Dez has not seen this. He doesn't know what is about to what's about to play, but let's just play it.
Okay, all right.
Bobby, I want you to meet my colleague, Dr. Hamilton.
And I'd like you to get the fuck out of here.
It's all
get out of here. Get out of my room. Get out of here, you bitch.
All right.
Yeah.
How much more of this? Is this a movie or a show?
It's a piece from a movie, apparently, called like, it's like Hunger Feet. It's like Feed the Gods 2 or something.
Food of the Gods 2.
Food of the Gods 2.
Which and, is a sequel to Food of the Gods 1.
And you can look up more information on it if you want to. I've intentionally chosen not to because no context given could make that clip any better than it already is. I just want that to just exist pure in my mind. Just like that.
You know, like people say, like, if you could time travel to any moment in time, like, you know, where would you go? And a lot of people are like, oh, I'd go see Led Zeppelin at MSG in 1972 or whatever. Like, I would go to the set of that Food of the Gods 2 just to like understand the mindset of the people making it. Like, yeah, we'll have a 10-year-old kid's head superimposed on an adult's body and have him.
I don't think that's what that was. No, that's, can we roll?
No, it was like a perspective trick, I think. I think it's like, you know, like Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings kind of stuff, or like some of the sets like closer. And like, here, let's, I think we need to watch it one more time.
It's a full on.
Bobby? I want you to meet my colleague, Dr. Hamilton.
And I'd like you to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, it's all
get out of here. Get out of my room. Get out of here, bitch. Get out of here.
That's I'm telling you, that's
I've literally seen this like dozens of times, and it makes me laugh. Like,
that's a full grown man at the very beginning.
Okay,
they superimposed a child's head onto it.
They
you
didn't
tell.
They didn't have that kind of technology.
No, but you could tell the 80s
written all over it.
That looked clean.
Wearing clothes too small for him, and then they cut to him as a kid.
They made clothes that like an 8 year old would be too small on. Okay. It's not
Bobby. I want you to meet my colleague, Dr. Hamilton.
And I'd like you to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, it's all
get out of here. Get out of my room. Get out of here, bitch. Get out of here.
This kid has said bitch before. That's not the first time. So I want to set it up for those who don't have the benefit of the video. So that it's a ceilinged, it's like the top floor of some English or old American hospital. And there's looks like parents coming into a room with some sort of social worker, and a door on the other side of the room opens. There's like a medical sink, and a door on the other side of the room opens, and this big, this very big little boy comes through the door. His head is practically hitting the ceiling, and he's got gray sweatpants and a gray sweatshirt. This is what's throwing Chris off. And I'm kind of proud of him. Because of where, like, his brain is telling him he needs to go, but like the shirt is too small on the very big little boy.
Yes, but he also has abs. You can tell he has abs.
I'm relying on the fact that it's an old 80s video and that the clarity is playing with your mind. And
okay, don't.
I'm with Dez on this.
Look at his head, because I know that's what your inclination is to. You're drawn towards the.
No, I'm telling you, this is like a Peter Jackson perspective trick. They made the set in a way to where the he's on is closer to the camera than the part where like the adults are on, and then they like.
No, I think what we're
or maybe they cut them. They kind of like pasted them together. They did like that, like rotoscoping or whatever. Like
what we're looking at here is like from Return of the Jedi with the
Rancor.
That so like they filmed the boy coming out of the door.
But he doesn't have those hard matte lines around him though. I think it's like when you watch like in Lord of the Rings with Peter Jackson, how he like in camera did like perspective tricks, and that's
there's
how things like in real time like.
It's definitely the shot from below where it's just like you see the kid hitting his head.
That's just the kid, but the shot before that isn't. It's a full grown man. I'm telling
you. No,
it is.
I think you're wrong.
All right, just watch the body. I'm gonna play it one more.
Can you before? Okay, just when he comes, can you pause it like just before?
I can't. Here, I can't. Yeah, hold on a second.
And then if we can unmute and then to let him come into the room and then we'll pause it.
Here, let's. We can do a side by side.
Bobby. I want you to meet my colleague, Dr.
Pause.
I'm touching the screen like you can see it. Like,
I think
the bed is covering up some kind of a perspective change here because where the adults and the kid are like they're different looking.
Look at the way he walks, though.
But he never passes the sink. This is trick photography 101. That's too superimposed. They have a supersized.
This is about to become my new cover photo.
But you see there, they're not showing his abs. Look.
Get out of here, you bitch. Get out of here.
Yeah.
They're not showing it.
By the way, Dez, I just want to comment on your descriptions for like the people outside of what the scene is like was very entertaining to me. Your description of what like you should do that for like pornography for like sight impaired people. I feel like
we could try that next time. Dave's
so
not
a
here.
Man walks into a room and there's a woman laying there.
I like to paint.
He walks over to her. She's open.
There's an X-ray on the wall, so clearly this is a medical. Situation that's a nurse.
That is a man walking. They superimpose the kid's head.
I don't
body.
Think so.
No.
Look at it. Kids don't walk like that. That's an adult.
I want you to meet my colleague.
No, he's just puffed out because he's about to tell a lady to get the fuck out of here.
He's mad.
He's puffed out.
Get out of here.
I just want to be there when the producer was like, so here's the line we want your son to say, ma'am.
This woman's face.
The kid says fuck so smooth though. He's like, get the fuck out of here. And you're
like, he really had that lined up too. He's like, and I would like you to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, but what's great is if you listen to it, there's like a line mess up because I think she says like I want you to meet my colleague, Dr. So and so, and he says, and I'd like you to get the fuck out of here, and you can tell it's like that.
Bobby, I want you to meet my colleague, Dr. Hamilton.
And I'll like you to get the
I'll like
out
you.
Of here.
Yeah, so if that's he was like, doing it right, he'd be like, and I want you to get the fuck out of here.
You know what, though? As a former 8-year-old who likes to learn how to swear, sometimes you're about to let off a big one, so you might screw up.
That an 8-year-old got that adrenaline built up, you know?
Exactly. Oh, that's a weird slow motion the way she was. Anyway. Yeah, this is I'm gonna look for this movie.
Yeah,
Food of the I think the rest of the movie is about killer rats, weirdly. I think this scene is just kind of like a non sequitur.
Really?
To do with anything.
Throw it in there?
I believe I read that online. I've never seen this, but I think
they just
I read that
interject
somewhere.
This into the film and then they don't pay it off. But
I think whatever made the rats killer also made him like that, but the movie's mainly about rats that are infected with something something.
What did not having kids have to do with it?
I think just seeing, understanding how kids could rage how they're going to walk.
The rage, I have no issue with. That's clearly that kid being rageful. I'm just saying they they put his face on an adult's body in that first shot.
Why would they do that though? Like,
because what? Because they were like, they filmed this with an adult.
This clip has lost all meaning now.
Just look at the way it's standing. He's standing there. That's an adult. There's no way that that's a kid.
Nuh-uh.
But they have the kid saying the line. The worst thing about this is the kid is the 8-year-old saying fuck.
That sink is the edge of the set with the adults on it, and then the kids on another set that's a different length away from the camera than the rest of them, and that bed and the sink are kind of covering up where the two sets meet.
I mean, let's watch the shadow on the wall. If it was a superimposed situation.
This is like, we're getting like the Zapruder film on
this. There's two shadows.
Oh, yeah, there's two shadows.
Actually, this is
I see a man on the grassy knoll. I'd like you to get the fuck out of
here, man. I'm telling you, that's a man.
No.
With a kid's head.
That's a... There's no reason to do all that technology. This is a TV or a movie.
Yeah. Also, look at the quality of this movie, Chris. Do you think these people have the money to make a kid look that good, like as a grown man? Well,
they only just figured out this technology on The Mandalorian a year ago.
Oh, someone said I'm right.
Who? Dan Wally's a kiss ass.
What? No.
All right, I'm going to put it to a poll on Twitch here.
Okay.
Is that first shot of the kid?
Now I'm about to turn into my mother and get on my iPad and look up how they did this.
Okay. Yeah. You guys got a minute to get your votes in on Twitch. See, multiple people are saying that I am right.
Well, that's multiple people voted for Donald Trump. Is that the category that you want to be in?
No, they didn't find a giant kid. That first, I'm saying this shot is that.
This is.
I mean, it's remarkable if it is trick photography, but I just don't. I don't see a kid standing there. I see a full grown man. We can even look at the perspective. Okay, look at where his inner elbow is. Right,
which one is left?
Either one. Just look at where the height is. Right, it's like maybe 6 inches above the end of his sweatshirt.
His kung fu grip.
Okay. Now look at it here.
Chris, this is such a weird hill to die on. Why are you doing this?
I mean, that's not a fake head.
That is very real. But I'm saying,
So all they have to do is move the camera to a lower angle. But instead, you're suggesting that they're going to bring in a whole other actor, have him come out, act out the physical part of it, and then they're going to film this young boy saying "fuck" and bitch and you know they're gonna do that, but then they're gonna go hand it off and send it into post-production on this movie that was produced for, if I could find the budget information.
All right, well, $0. 67% of our audience thinks that I'm wrong. So
I mean, if it's any consolation to you, that's like six people.
Literally is six people.
I could find no details during my brief 5 minutes of Googling, which is all anyone on the internet does is their research. So I've done my research and I don't know how they did it.
What's the kid's name? Bobby? Is that what's the character, the young?
I guess we have to watch the clip again. I don't know.
Bobby?
Yeah, Bobby.
I want you to meet my colleague, Dr. Hamilton.
Bobby's played like by Sean
get
Mitchell.
Get the fuck out of here!
You know that kid was having the time of his life that day.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, ah, oh, yeah.
Bitch, get out of here!
You bitch.
Whatever so happened. Hateful. There's a lot of information. If you just go Google Sean Mitchell as Bobby, it's all there.
Oh.
So.
And did they say how they shot that?
It's going to be some really bad internet aggregation articles. Right. So I'll do homework for next time and we'll get what we can.
That's all right, because we're out of time.
Oh, bits. Oh, no. Don't forget to watch Obi-Wan Kenobi this week.
Oh, yeah.
This week.
Friday, right?
Friday night.
Friday? They're releasing like two episodes at once?
I guess technically Thursday at midnight. Two episodes will be available.
At midnight or 3 a.m.? Because sometimes Disney...
You're right. I'm sorry. 3 a.m.
All right. Damn
East Coast time.
That means I have to go to bed early and wake up early and watch it before I go on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be hard to stay away. I have big plans, but we'll see.
Oh no, what happens in Obi-Wan Kenobi? I definitely don't know. Because, I mean, the end of that's just episode 4, right? So, like...
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I guess, like, Rogue One.
I mean, it can't be... how much can you spoil it, really? Like,
well, Miss Marsman said Obi-Wan is by the screenwriter of Drive. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Nice.
That was a great movie.
It's being like nobody spoiled the ending of Titanic for me.
Hey, man, a lot can happen in between the lines.
Oh, apparently it's also known as Gnaw, Food of the Gods, too.
That makes sense. If it's a mouse, giant mouse problem, that's a good title.
Yeah.
I'll support it.
Gnaw's a bad title. That's like a hard one to say. Like, where are you going to go see it tonight? Gnaw. What? Gnaw. Gnaw. Like, Gnaw.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another exciting edition of the Good Time Hour without Dave Hill, but still with Dez and Chris. God, that title's a mouthful.
That's all right.
Dave will be back next week.
He will, right?
Yeah. And I think we're going to do an every other week rotation. So it'll be this show 1 week and Dave the next week. But it's always going to be the Good Time Hour.
We'll be here Monday night at 8. Something's going to happen right here.
Yeah. Yes. Was that the show? Yes, that was the show.
That was the show.
Thank you for watching. If you'd like to help support this show, you can do that by subscribing right here on Twitch, or you can send a donation directly to Dave on Venmo at the Dave Hill. If you'd like to help support this show as a podcast, you can do so at Maximum Fun by becoming a member at MaximumFun.org/join, and that podcast goes up every Friday. Any final words from you guys?
Buy Dave Hill merch on dumbindustries.com.
Yes. Yeah. You have to remind me that. Yeah, there's some really cool Dumb Industries t-shirts on there. Oh, I want to mention this too, except I didn't. There's a new t-shirt on the Dumb Industries store for a limited time only. I'm going to just put the image up and, oh, the file's too large. Never mind. Listen, there's a Sonny Bono marijuana t-shirt I designed, and you can get that at dumb-industries.com, and people have been buying them in droves for some reason. So thank you, everyone.
We're getting new chickens tomorrow.
Ooh.
So.
How many?
Three. Getting three.
Wow.
So
that's exciting.
Right on.
Day old, little ones. It'll be
you
like
gotta film. Can you film some of them so we can watch footage?
Oh, trust me, there'll be plenty of video.
All right.
You can follow some Girls of LaGrange on Instagram.
Yeah.
Can you make us a video of you playing for the little chickens something on your record player like you do? Like,
that's not a bad idea. Although I don't know.
A little baby chicken dancing to some music on a turntable. You can get some views for that.
You know what? I like where your head is at. I'll see what I can do.
All right, guys.
My wife will love that. See you guys later.
Good night, everyone.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.